We're going to turn this evening. Last week we did verses 22 and 23. This week I hope to do verses 24 and verses 25. The context, you remember, was this, that applies to all of us when we're going through difficulties. He says, my strength, my hope is gone from me. And he says, my hope, my heart still has in remembrance all the things that I've been through and suffered. But this is what I recall to mind, even though I'm suffering so badly, even though it's just such a long, long time, I remember and therefore I have hope, because it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's number one. And now we do number two and number three. Though my soul has my misery, the wormwood and the gall in remembrance, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I, verse 4, the Lord is my portion. And in the next verse, this I have in my mind. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. So these are the things that help Jeremiah, and they're in scriptures because they help us when we are going through a period of misery or difficulty. Jeremiah knew it would be for 70 years. 70 hours is a long time when you're in pain. But when you are going through grave difficulties, trying to work things out, trying to wrestle with the people's unfairness, trying to deal with pain, trying to deal with changes such as happened in old age, such as happened in adolescence, but whatever it is, it seems such a long time. But what gives us hope is the Lord, that he's merciful. Is the Lord that he is our portion, and is the Lord that he is good unto them that wait for him. So today, the Lord is our portion, and the Lord is good. This is all to give us hope. This is all to give us solidity as we continue through very difficult times, perhaps, in our life. So, first of all, portion. The Lord is my portion. Well, it can also mean inheritance. Think your garden, or if you haven't got a garden, or the weather's too cold to sit in the garden, think of your home, think of when it's snug, and think of when it's warm. This is your portion. The inheritance in the Old Testament was inalienable. That is to say, you couldn't sell your home, or if you did, it was only to the Jubilee. It was yours. It always stayed in the family. And of course, if you had a number of family members, it would go to the oldest. But the Lord worked all these different details out. But our portion is the situation that the Lord has given us. Now, you remember that Levi had no portion in Israel. Do you remember that he had no land? He had no property, but the Lord, the service of the Lord, was his portion. It was his share. Now, the Lord is invisible. And in a way, that makes it harder. But he did get the service of the saints for whom he led worship, for whom he sacrificed. He could actually, eat of that which was not burned, but he had no portion in the land. The Lord and the Lord's provision was his portion. We read Psalm 16, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. So that the lot is unto us in pleasant places. But also, we read in the psalm, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. No, we didn't read that. That's Psalm 73. And we did read, thou art my portion, O Lord. So this is a strong, strong biblical principle that the Lord is our portion. Psalm 17 speaks of the opposite. Those men of the world who have their portion in this life. And here we have that we live in this world, but we don't belong to it. We're not men of the world who have our portion in this life. What we do have, the Spirit will help us to handle so carefully that it doesn't prejudice fixing our hearts on the Lord, who is our heavenly portion. This is not our home. It is for the time. And you remember the Lord in John 17. He prayed, didn't he, that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in the world, but we need the Lord's help to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. We need to have him as our portion. He is to override all other interests. Sometimes you may say to yourself, I don't know if I'm managing that very well. There are things that are too near to us and too dear to us. But if we pray that the Lord will open up to us to consider him as our ultimate delight, he will help us put into the correct perspective our other interests, our other hobbies, our other delights, and of course the loves of our life. So the Lord is my portion. And therefore, I have hope. He recalls this to his mind. The Lord is my portion. Therefore will I hope in him. Now, one of the great things that happens in sorrow, one of the things that happens in pain, one of the things that happens in overwork is that we lose sight of him. The Lord is our portion, therefore will I hope in him. But sometimes it is very hard. And what probably is helpful to think at such a time when life seems very hard is the glory that the Lord gets from our turning to him and waiting for him and banking on him in our particular misery, our particular wormwood and our particular gall. We may think that we're laid on one side and can't do anything. We may think that we're disqualified from doing anything because we can't get out and about, or whatever reason it is. I'm sure John Thackway is thinking because he can't speak at present, because of his mouth difficulties that the Lord is dealing with. But I'm sure he regrets not being able to preach. But the Lord gets as much glory, let's say more glory, from our turning to him in our miseries, our difficulties, not just in retrospect, but at the very time we're going through them. Or I could put it another way. We learned years ago that we could trust the Lord because we went through a difficult period, and afterwards we reflected on it and we understood and we praised the Lord. But what do we do this time? Do we go through it again, through the same miseries, as if it was just the same, afterwards reflect upon it and understand? Or this time do we understand as we go through it, in view of our past experiences, we may throw all our trust in the Lord, which would be much more glorifying to the Lord. So he recalls to mind, despite the miseries and in the middle of his miseries, the Lord's mercy, and that the Lord is his portion. But you know also, don't you, the flip side of the coin. You will find it in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, I think. I can never read my own writing. But in Deuteronomy 32, for the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. The Lord is our portion, but the Lord's portion is his people. I always smile to myself when I think of those words. Who gets the better deal? Does the Lord who gets us, or we who get the Lord? Well, that's not really a relevant question, because he wants his people. But you understand what I'm saying. He loves us and he has us as his portion. But we have him, a much greater, greater gift. But the Lord's portion is his people. He spends time among them and he loves them. The Lord has the cattle of on a thousand hills, but they're not his portion. The Lord has all the worlds of men and people and of time, but they're not his portion. The Lord has the galaxies and the stars and the great space, but they're not his portion. That is to say, they're not what he enjoys. They're not what he made the world and all these things for. It's his people. The Lord Jesus spoke in Proverbs of how much he delighted, Proverbs 9. His delights were in the habitable parts of the earth and with the children of men. And he's talking about the saved people. The Lord's delight is with us. We are his portion. And that is wonderfully, wonderfully uplifting. The Lord lives with us. The Lord directs us. The Lord is with us and within us. He is Emmanuel to us. The Holy Spirit regards our bodies as the temple of God. The Lord resides in the praises of Israel because they come from saved hearts. But we are his delight. His people all over the world at any given time. Is that which takes up his particular interest and time and he directs his thoughts for. All things in history are for to put the church in its proper place. All things of history are for the church. And the Lord is his people. Everything that's going on is for the salvation of his people. Even all the disasters in the world of men, and even the things that his people seem to be going through, they are all so that the Lord may declare to us his great love and his care and prepare us for that eternity with him, which we shall enjoy. I'm always very aware that when you're dealing with these great hymns, you can't really do them justice. But the Lord is our portion, and it gives us hope, and that we are the Lord's portion gives us stability, for example. Nothing can change our destination. Nothing can reverse. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that's very, very wonderful when we are in time of trouble. So, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him. He's just saying, wasn't he? Remembering the misery and the gall, but something gave him hope, the Lord's mercy, but that the Lord is our portion, and his portion is his people. This gives hope. I cannot really imagine how dreadful it is to be approaching death and to have the load of your sins still upon you and not to know what the future holds, or to put it out of your mind, but to have an uneasy conscience about it. It is such a grim thing. But to have hope, the hope that exists along with faith and charity, the greatest of which is charity or love. But that hope is so uplifting. We know that we are his. Our hope is in him. We have a life beyond this one. And in one sense, what happens to us now is scarcely material. It doesn't matter. We don't want to die in great pain. There's all sorts of things. But we do know where we're going. And when we've got there, we won't mind what we went through to get there. Even as Jesus said that a woman, when she brought her son to the birth, forgets all the pains and trials for the joy that she's got. And we'll forget all our troubles for the joy we have in being with Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit in a perfect heaven and a new world, in our perfected bodies, forever and ever. So in the middle of all our difficulties, the Lord is our portion, and that gives us hope. But there is another thing, and that's in verse 25. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope that the Lord is good to them that wait for him. Now, at the part I read from Psalm 119, I may well read it again next week, but in verse, for example, 68, Psalm 119, 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. I've often said to the Lord, I've experienced so much goodness. Not only art thou good, but thou hast done me nothing but good. I deserve nothing, but thou didst graciously call me to thyself. Nothing better, nothing more good could ever have happened to me. And perhaps in a time of difficulty and of evil, it is good to remember that God is good. He has great issues, great threads of life to pull together. We're a very important part, but we're only a small part. There'll be millions of believers in heaven and millions of situations out of which they've come. And as we see things, we only see a low part of things. We don't see the big, big issues. We often think, what does the Lord prepare for Meg? You see, you can understand that. We'd like her to live a normal life. But perhaps the Lord, in being particularly close to her, is giving her something that we'll never reach in this life ourselves. But I'm simply using that as an illustration. The Lord is good And he deals with us in this, as if we were in the centre of all his goodness, which we are. But things don't always seem to us to be good, do they? They seem to cross, the old Puritans use that expression, we would say they cross that path, they would say the Lord would cross. In other words, he would cancel out, he would put a cross against it. We can't go on the way we were going. The Lord would cross all that we thought was good, all we'd hoped for, and it didn't turn out like that. But if that sort of thing is happening, then the Lord does have great perfections for us. And doubtless we will have a great position in glory, not that I know quite how to talk about that, but simply because we have acknowledged his great goodness and that what is happening to us is for our good, for the good of the kingdom, for the good of his eternal purposes. All things work together for good to those who are the called, according to his purpose. So that when the Lord applies goodness to our ways, which we're not very happy and sure about, he is doing us a great favour. All things are working together in our lives. So when these things seem a long time, 70 years in the case of Jeremiah, but when you're going through them, they seem an eternity. But here are the ways that we can deal with them. Look for the Lord's mercies being renewed day by day. Look for that portion that we have in the Lord and enjoy that garden. The Lord has come into his garden, our hearts. Enjoy the portion that we have and that portion being in him. Understand that what is happening to us is good. Just put like that makes us realise that that is an antidote for bitterness, isn't it? Just to realise that what we're going through and however long we go through it is good according to the Lord's purpose. Good for us, but good for every single way in which it works out that the Lord wishes to prepare us. And I look back over my life before I was a Christian and know just how bad, I don't know if I do know how bad it was as the Lord looks at it. But when I look back and see that the way that he's worked during the time before I was a Christian, I had no idea what he was doing. But the Lord's purpose is always good for those who are his people, for those who are his sheep. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I'm not very good at doing that. Although I don't mind sitting about and meditating, I don't really like waiting very much. I like to be doing things. But there are times when our hearts need to be composed before the Lord and to lose our souls in worshipping him and praising him and thanking him. And to wait for what he does for us next. Who knows what's the next thing in our lives? But to wait for him and examine what happens that is of his moving and assess it and understand that he's doing for us good and nothing for good, but good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Well, you know the famous thing that the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. These things are not true in ordinary life, are they? If we ask, we're not necessarily given. If we seek something we've lost, we don't always find it. We knock at a door to take the gospel, and it's not necessarily open to us. But in spiritual things, says the Lord, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And his comment, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Wonderful passage in the Song of Solomon of how the loved one by failure and tardiness in opening the heart to the Lord has to run and seek him. And it's not an easy passage. All sorts of difficulties before the Lord reappears to warm the heart again. But the Lord is good to the one who seeks him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And in the middle of these continuing disasters and difficulties, time in which Jeremiah lived and time in which we live in our own way, seek that the Lord will hold us steady through them all, and that we will not succumb, though we may do initially, to the general feeling of hopelessness and lostness and going nowhereness that is alive in the world. It is, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Jeremiah says, these are the things that give hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Gives him hope that every morning his mercy will be revealed. It gives him hope that the Lord is his portion and has he not been abandoned. And it gives him hope that the Lord is good, always good, to those who wait for him, to those, the soul that seeketh him. Seek him in the midst of overwhelming odds. For he will answer, he will find, and he will be glorified. The Lord is our God. Sometimes we is too small. I think that was the title of C.S. Lewis's book. He's a great God. He's an almighty God. He's working out his purposes. None can stay them. He is good to the soul that waiteth for him and to the soul that seeketh him. These are the things to hold fast to in adversity. No matter what the adversity is, these are the things that will keep us steady and enable us to glorify the Lord. Well, next week I hope to do 6 or 7 verses or something like that. But may the Lord help us as we consider the lamentable things of life, the lamentations of our life and of things like that.